This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين اللهم اجمعنا به في جنات الفردوس يا أرحم الراحمين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always we begin with the praise, the thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We testify with firmness and conviction and belief and certainty that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah Azza wa Jal, and that our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave, his final messenger, alayhi afdalus salat wa atamu taslim. It's a blessing, alhamdulillah, to be able to gather in the house of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he has asked of what are of the best of deeds. He said, it is that you complete a prayer, وانتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة, and that you remain waiting for the next prayer until it arrives. This is هذا هو الرباط. This is to hold on to and to defend the land of your heart, the land of faith that you seek to occupy in your very essence and being. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his angels of rahmah and sakina upon us. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ, never do a people. The word قَوْم usually means men in the Arabic language. Never do men gather in the house of Allah seeking to learn, يَتَدَارَسُونَ الْقُرْآنَ بَيْنَهُمْ, to learn and to deliberate and to rotate the Qur'an amongst themselves. إِلَّا حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, except because of that purpose, the angels surround them. The word hafatum, you know, in Arabi, I'm Egyptian by ancestry. We say, you know, when it's cold, you say, I want lahaf. Hafatum is something that you wrap yourself around. You know, when you're in bed in the cold and your toe is sticking out, and you got to pull your toe in. You can't even have a little part showing. Hafatumul malaika, like nothing from us is exposed to anything but the angels, alayhimu salam. May Allah gather the angels upon us, Allahumma ameen. In the hadith of Safwan, he comes from a distance to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, inni ji'tu atlub al-ilm. O Messenger of Allah, I've come for a purpose where I need to learn something from you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana ala burdin lahu ahmar. He was reclined on a reddish carpet, a reddish mantle that he had on the floor. Fajalas, he sat up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, marhaban, marhaban bi talib al-ilm. Greetings and greetings to the one who has come with questions, the one who's come to learn. Inna talib al-ilm tahuffuhu al-malaika. The one who has come to learn something that connects their heart to Allah, that they are seeking ma'rifa billah, a collection that brings them closer to God, the angels surround him. وَيَرْكَبُ بَعْضُهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ, and they stack upon one another. حَتَّى يَبْلُغُ سَمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, until they reach the expanse of the first heaven. مَحَبَّةً لِمَا يَطْلُبُ. Because they love the purpose of why he has arrived. May Allah cause the angels to stack upon us and to surround us and to bring down their hidayah that Allah has sent with them into our hearts and homes. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to make Masjid al-Taqwa Masjid Amir, a masjid that is occupied and full. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yubayyid wujuhana wa wujuhakum. May Allah brighten your faces. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُ وُجُوهٌ. When there are faces that are darkened because of sin and error, where they have turned themselves away from Allah, and on that day that there are faces that are brightened and radiant because they have come to the house of Allah. May I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless those who work towards fulfilling and keeping the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive in the hearts, in the mind, and in the practice of us as Muslims in this far-flung land of Perth. MashaAllah, the north of Perth requires a visa. I didn't know that. As I was driving here with my sons and one of my nephews, I said, SubhanAllah, if I knew it was this far, I couldn't remember how far SubhanAllah Mirabuka is. SubhanAllah, often because we are busy down south, it seems, I think Mirabuka is like 20 minutes. 30, 40 minutes coming from the southern parts of Perth, even on an idle Friday. But I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it khuta lil masjid, makes our footsteps to the masjid a reason for, as the Prophet ﷺ said, for every step you take to the masjid, you raise the level in Jannah. And a sin is pardoned, and you are granted a hasanah. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every action, bi'ashri amthaliha, it's 10 times its reward. In fact, some of the sahaba, they used to understand this hadith literally. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to take short steps when he walked to the masjid. Like, he wouldn't take a long step. He would say, this hadith, it's significant. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your steps to the masjid and make you regular and umaran. لبيت الله إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله. Those who are habitual in fulfilling the trust that is endowed in the masjid are those who it's predicated, built on the intention that they have a belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the faces that I see in front of me of my dear brothers, young and old, mashallah, it's important to see the young before the old. It's a blessing that you have here in Murabuka. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these young men who are in front of me and the young women who are upstairs, not in our visibility, that they become the stepping stone for the greatness of the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. And may from those who are seated in front of us today be those who are ulama who sit in front of you into the future. May Allah give them the Quran, its practice and its knowledge and its secrets. Allahumma ameen. The topic is dying for the dunya or living for the akhirah. The dunya belongs to Allah, subhanAllah. Sometimes it's forgotten. We forget that even when Musa was harmed and Fir'aun was Pharaoh, that the dunya belonged to Allah. Pharaoh wasn't Pharaoh, the power he had, the words he chose, the influence he possessed, the military that he sent against others was not his own. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Look at the dua that Allah teaches the Prophet ﷺ. Say to me, Ya Muhammad, قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. You are the owner of what is owned. Subhanallah. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give to who you want, a part of the dunya is given in transient, in moments. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكِ, and you rip it from whom you want. تُعِز, you elevate whom you will, even if they are distant from you, O Allah, subhanAllah. When Allah speaks about some of the worst antagonists, some of the worst villains that humanity has seen, Allah describes them as having been given power, dominion, authority. When Allah speaks about An-Namrud, who in his hatred of truth, he stands and sits before Ibrahim and he says, I give life and death. And آتاه الله الملك. Allah says, but Allah was the one who gave him what he thought. As we forget the allure of the dunya, we begin to turn ourselves towards the akhirah. And subhanAllah, we begin with the study, and we want words of the Prophet. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam center to our discussions. We begin with some of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, peace and blessings be upon him. Yushaku an tada'a alaykum al umam. Soon the nations will invite kama tat tada'alized. Everybody invites people over. You know, mashallah, when you have iftar in the masjid, you say, no, ya akhi, come to the masjid. We're going to have iftar together. You can bring something. We're going to feast. You got to. Come, you got it to happen. Invite each other to feast on you. The way people invite each other to feast on a sumptuous meal. The Sahaba were perplexed. The Prophet ﷺ has been given assurance that no longer will Medina be attacked in Islam. It's after the time of Khandaq and Khaybar. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, awa min qibla. All of a sudden, our numbers, will we dwindle in number that we can't defend ourselves? Qala innakum kathir. It's the opposite. Will be plenty, many. But your effect in the scum on the water body, pulled right and left under toe of the current. You have no strength. Said to go right, you are right, left, dress this way, eat this, favor this, do this. You don't have your own will, your own choice. The world through the eyes of others. You see faith through the eyes of others. Inferiority, of low self, of little confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What causes this? يَقْذِبُ فِي قُلُوبِ يَنْزِعُ الْمَخَافَةَ مِنْ عَدُوِّكُمْ وَيَقْوَى What happened to a messenger of Allah that would cause this? The Prophet ﷺ says that those who are enemies to you will have fear of you. They don't see you as being of any significance. And Allah will put in your hearts Wahn. Now the word wahn is understood in the language, but they didn't understand its context. The Sahaba, although they were Arabs and understood the language, they know there's a meaning to this word. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا الْوَهْنِ What is this wahn you describe? What does it mean to be feeble? To be ineffective? To be impotent? To be lowly, to be cast away, to be downtrodden, to be without self-respect, self-dignity, self-awareness. What does it mean? What's the context of that? فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ Your heart will possess an excessive love for this worldly life. And will fear the return to Allah's death. Subhanallah. I want you to keep that hadith in your mind. And I want you to contextualize it with the other words that I will narrate to you from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith with the hadith of Imam Ahmad. An authentic hadith. Equally in an authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Satati sanawatun khadda'at." You will live years of deception. Subhanallah. He doesn't say moments. He doesn't say hours. He doesn't say weeks. There will be years of deception. We live in an age today where AI, I was surprised. I didn't know I speak Urdu. I don't speak Urdu. But I was surprised, one of the people who follow me, he sent me a video of myself speaking Urdu. I said, Subhanallah, a whole lecture. The AI that they used had my same, you see how my voice goes up and down sometimes, I get a bit emotional. Even the AI was like emotional. I said, Subhanallah, are you sure this is not me? It's me, it was a video I spoke in English. I recorded it in Turkey, in Istanbul. I remember who and what and where and when. And I watched it and I was scratching my head. Maybe I know Urdu. I know samosa, biryani. Sanawatun khadda'at. There was a video of the president of Russia watching a video of himself that wasn't himself, AI. A video of him doing a news conference with a journalist, and he's never done that interview. His voice, his answers. And he sat there, they played the video for him, and he's watching. And it's an incredible, surreal experience. The Prophet ﷺ said, there will come a time where what you see, you are baffled. And some of what you see, you will say to yourself, يُصَدَّقُ فِيهَا الْكَذُوبُ وَيُكَذَّبُ الصَّادِقُ. That what is truth, you will say it's a lie. And what is a lie, you will believe it to be true. وَيُخَوَّنُ الْمُؤْتَمَنُ وَيُتَمَنُ الْخَائِنُ. The one you should trust will be betrayed, and the one who is a betrayer, people will trust. Subhanallah. وَتَنْتِقُ الرُّوَيْبِضَةِ. And then in public mass, رُوَيْبِضَةِ will be spoken. Once again, the Sahaba, they're like, what? مَا الرُّوَيْبِضَةِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What does this word mean? He said, الرَّجُلُ التَّافِهِ. It's an ignoramus, an ignorant person who should not be heard or listened to. Somebody who has no value in what they say will be given the place of someone who has value. And everybody who has something to say will be given a place and a platform to say it. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will come a time where a person will walk by those who have been buried, and he will say, "Batnu al-ard khayr min zahiriha." He will say to himself that being in the inside of the earth, having been buried, would have been better for me than to remain alive. Subhanallah. I never thought that this would be something I would see with my own eyes. You know how you and I casually, may Allah forgive us. May Allah give strength to the people of Gaza. You know, sometimes you sit there in the bed, comfortable, alhamdulillah. May Allah yudim alayna ni'mah. May Allah keep us comfortable. You sit there and you look on your little screen at the atrocities, the genocide, the destruction, the death, the peril of innocent human beings. You see, subhanallah, a father who says, خُدُونِي مَعَكُمْ. Take me with you, as he's burying his children. Why did you leave me? What do I have to live for? Subhanallah. Dying for the dunya or living for the akhirah? Let us define first the dunya. The word dunya comes from the Arabic word that symbolizes daniya, lowly. It is the lowest thing, subhanAllah. Do you know the ulama, al-Imam al-Ghazali, al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah, they say that the people of Jahannam have a higher place than the people who love the dunya. Yani imagine the one who is kafir in Jahannam, they have a higher standing than the one who is immersed in the love of the dunya and have forgotten Allah. Because he says that the one who is in Jahannam, at least now they know Allah. They've come to recognize the haqq, al-haqqa. There's no doubt. But the one here, they still think they dominate. That I will extend, that I will own, that I will keep, that I will have, that I can protect, that it's my share. Ad-dunya, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عنها, لو أن الدنيا عند الله تساوي جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافر منها شربة ماء. If this worldly life was of any value to Allah, to the value of the wing of a mosquito, he would not give an unbeliever in it a sip of water. Yani if this dunya was concerned for it, unless you worship me, I will not give you a share of it. An unbeliever wouldn't have a sip of its water if the world even was the value of a mosquito wing. But the dunya, the allure of it, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to take from it what is belonging to Him on the condition that we appreciate it and are thankful to Him through our service of ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us of living a life that we depart the dunya wa akhlada ila al-ard, and they still want to hold it. Subhanallah. Down south, you may have prayed in this masjid, the Turkish masjid, the Sulaimani masjid in Kennington. The former president of the masjid, may Allah have mercy upon him, was a man named Hussein Aksakal. Some of you might have met him and know him if you have been in Perth for 10 or 15 years. May Allah have mercy upon our brother Hussein. When he passed away suddenly, MashaAllah, brother Hussein, and I remember him now, that may Allah accept our dua for forgiveness for him and send light upon his grave. He's buried here in Perth. He was always impeccably dressed. He loved to wear nice suits, had a range of shoes of different colors. He used to polish them, used to take care of his belongings and how he represented himself. When he passed away, we visited the home. MashaAllah, hundreds of people would come to visit every night. And subhanAllah, as we sat in his garage, I remember sitting, and across from me were three bookshelves of shoes that he used to love to wear. His shoes. What he thought at the time he owned. And I remember sitting there, subhanAllah, and I said, what will happen to these shoes? Leave the home, leave the car, leave the clothes, leave the money in the bank. SubhanAllah, and then the words of the Prophet ﷺ come to mind. That as you are carried to your grave, SubhanAllah, how many janazah we prayed here in Masjid At-Taqwa. As you're brought out from this door, my brother, young and old, and you are lined up here, may Allah give you those whose hearts are connected to Allah that they make dua for you. Ameen. As you are brought here, wallahi nothing. Wallahi nothing. You have nothing. Just this. This. Where are the shoes? Where's the suit? Where's my watch? Where's my ring? Where's my phone? Where's my account? The Prophet ﷺ said, as you're carried, three things follow you: your family, your estate, and your amal, your deeds. Two of them return, and one stays with you. Your amal stays with you, subhanAllah. By our belief as Muslims, this is your aqeedah as a Muslim, you do not own anything in the dunya, even if your name is on the contract. You bought the house? No, you are using the house. You reside upon the land that is owned by Allah, the earth that belongs to Allah. In 100 years from now, my brother, wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayru, all of us will be forgotten. All of us. Do you know your grandfather's father's name? Yani, when was the last time you made dua for your grandfather's father? 100 years ago. Masmu, what was her name? Your grandmother's mother. Man hiya? What dua have you made for them? What is left with them? What from the earth that they left is theirs? So we take the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu, he entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw that his back was marked from the harsh bedding that he was sleeping on. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can provide. You can provide for yourself much more than this. And I will balance how we view what is our psychology of wealth. Because I don't want you to leave here confused to think Sheikh Yahya is saying, sell everything, sit in the masjid. La. Qala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma li wa lid-dunya? I can have the dunya, but what am I going to really do with it? Ma li wa lid-dunya? By the way, I want you to know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not poor. There's this mistake. Sometimes when we hear those hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they wrapped the stone on his stomach, and no, those were very minor moments in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hashallah, how could you even think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send the final message of Allah, faqir yatlubul man, seeking money from people. When you read the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, there's a PhD by Dr. Siddiq. He accounted for all of the zakah that the Prophet gave himself, or all of the sadaqah from the wealth of Rasulullah ﷺ that he gave. It's in the tens of millions in today's currency. Rasulullah ﷺ was not poor. Rasulullah ﷺ chose to give others what he said to himself, I don't need, because I look towards the akhirah. None of us will reach that example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the mindset is important. That amassing and containing and keeping and wanting more after more is not the way of a believer. To end this section, I share with you a moment from one of the lives, some of the great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A young man entered the masjid, young, just over a child's age. He was an orphan. And he was tearful, came, sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam near the front. And he began to complain about his neighbor. His neighbor, after his father and mother died, refused to allow him to build a fence between their two properties, between his farm and the property of this young orphan. And the result of that is this young orphan, his chickens, his goats, would run out to the desert and he would lose what he was feeding the remainder of his family with. And he says to his neighbor, can I please build the fence? He says, no, I've just planted a tree in this place. I can't let you build. It will disturb it. He said, can I buy the tree from you? He said, no. So he comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, oh, Messenger of Allah, can you speak to my neighbor that maybe he will sell me the tree, maybe he will just help me to protect the little that I have left in the dunya. The neighbor comes angry. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has brought him to the masjid for judgment. And he sees this young, to him, a child. How dare you embarrass me in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet talattafa bih was gentle with him. And he says to him, ya hadha, tasaddaq alayh, perhaps you want to be generous to him in my masjid in front of me. Perhaps you want to say, take the tree, build your fence. He says, la ya Rasulullah. He said, bi'ahu iyaha, well, maybe sell it to him. He said, la ya Rasulullah, waqad rafa'ani ilayk. I will never sell it to him. How dare he raise me up as a criminal in front of you in court? Subhanallah. Akhadhatu al-izza bil-ifm. Sometimes our pride makes us go into further sin. So the Prophet ﷺ gently gives him one more opportunity. He says to him, "A'ti iyyaha wa laka nakhla fil jannah." If you were to sell this tree or give it to him, I give you a promise that you will have a nakhla, a date tree in Jannah, yasiru raqibu alf 'am. A rider would ride 1,000 years to get out of its shade. Subhanallah. فَقَالَ لَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا بِنَخْلَةٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Not even for a tree in Jannah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. In the back of the masjid, doesn't involve him. He's not involved. Somebody's listening. There's a tree in Jannah waiting. One of the Sahaba, Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu. He sees the man leave, he goes after him. He says, أَتَعْلَمُ مَنْ أَنَا? Do you know who I am? He says, أَعْلَمُ مَنْ أَنَا. Abu Dahdah is one of the wealthiest Ansar. He says, of course I know who you are. أَتَدْرِ مَا أَمْلُكُ? Do you know what my net worth is? Do you know what I own? He says, of course. Your garden has 600 trees, not one tree, 600. He said, لَكَ مَا أَمْلُكْ بِهَذِهِ النَّخْلَةِ. I want to trade you for this tree, my estate. He said, take it. بِئْسَ هَذِهِ النَّخْلَةِ. What an evil tree it was. I have ruined my dunya and akhirah for it. Take it. Abu Dahdah goes home, his wife is inside. I always think of my wife. He doesn't go in, because it's not his house, khalas. He says, Ya Umm al-Dahdah, ikhruji minha. Umm al-Dahdah, come out. She says, Lima? She said, Bi'tuha, I've sold it. She goes, what? Liman? Who? He said, Bi'tuha lillah wa li rasulihi bi nakhlatin fil jannah. I've sold it to Allah and His Messenger for a tree in Jannah. So she took the date out of her son's mouth and said, بِعْنَاهَا لِلَّهِ. This is Allah's now. 3 months later, the Battle of Uhud occurs. And Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu is martyred. And in the darkness, the Prophet searches for him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet finds him, picks him up with his blessed hands. And he says to Abu Dahdah a sentence I want you to think about. He said, رَبِحَ الْبَيْعِ يَا أَبُ الدَّحْدَاحِ. What a good trade, what a good sale you made, Abu Dahdah. Meaning, Abu Dahdah is not, mashallah, you are shaheed in Uhud. What made Abu Dahdah have the كَمْ مِنْ رَبَاحٍ. Look at how thick your tree is with these dates of value in Jannah. Now, I'm not telling you, go home today, brother, and say, Ya Umm al-Dahdah, Ya Umm Ahmad, Ya Umm بعتها لله. I sold our house to Allah in the messages. I said, لا. But I want you to look to the side of you. I want you to consider that there is pain within our community and away from us. What made Abu Dahdah worthy of being a shaheed in Uhud? The Sahaba, they would say, you know, kunna na'udduhum. We used to count them. Afdalu minna. They were the valuable ones. They're the likes of Hamza radiallahu anhu. What made Abu Dahdah valuable is not his loss of life in Uhud, is that he looked to those who are in need and was willing to give from the dunya for them. SubhanAllah. Now for some, he can give more than others. For some, Abu Dahdah can give, I'll give you all of my estate. Yahya cannot. I can't. But I can look after an orphan with a monthly payment. I can look after the electric bill of Masjid al-Taqwa. I can help in the summer months when the air condition is on 20 hours a day with an extra tap of my payment to the masjid. I can look and see that sister, that brother who's struggling as a single parent to pay school fees at a Muslim school for 4 kids, 5 kids, and alhamdulillah, Allah has helped me graduate my children from school, so now I have what I used to pay last year, it's less. Perhaps I can set up a scholarship for those who don't. It's not about how much you give, it's about why. Because living for the dunya is dying for the dunya. Living for the akhirah is seeking the Jannah through the ways that Allah has made accessible. And I'm conscious of the time of Salatul Isha coming upon us. How do we seek the akhirah? Yani, what does Allah want from us? SubhanAllah. As you sit with me, my brother, I know that there is pain. Yani, not all pain is the same. For some pain, it's health. For some pain, it's worry. For some pain, it's back home. For some pain, it's my past. For some pain, it's worry about the future. For some, it's pain of worrying about the future of other than myself. I see my children, I see my struggle. For some, it's the pain of firaq, of separation, of those who I was with and now I'm not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, you will be tested. And I want to give you a Quranic example of the importance of our belief in Qadr. Because if you understand your place with Allah and the Qadr of Allah in your life, you will live a pleasant life. Yusuf alayhi salam, if you were to begin calculating from the beginning of Surah Yusuf, his life and the trauma he experiences. Kidnapped, 5, 6 years old, by his own brothers, SubhanAllah. They say, come, we're going to take you out to play. Our father, مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا عَلَى يُوسُفْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. Our father, why don't you trust us with Yusuf? We're going to be very careful with him. We will teach him how to be a better man. They take him. They nearly put him to death. Now, I want you to understand some of the previous traditions, they have a different way of viewing Qadr. They have a different way of viewing morality, right and wrong. There are previous traditions where their view of wrong, and you can see this in their texts, and that's why sometimes when you see the brutality that exists in the world, I want you to understand it's not just evil, sometimes it's actually doctrine, belief. So in certain previous generations, previous outlooks of life, there were those who had an outlook that if I cage someone in a room, I lock them and throw away the key. And I don't provide them food or water. And they die, I didn't kill them. God killed them. Because God is all powerful and God can do whatever he wants. And Allah, in their context, God wants that person to die. So I was the one who locked them in the room. But even if the result was from my imprisonment, the power of God is always absolute. And if he wanted them to escape, he would have. I dropped the bomb. I didn't kill anybody with it. It's not me. It's a convoluted way of thought. The brothers of Yusuf said, لا تقتلوا يوسف. Don't kill him with your own hand. ألقوه في غيابة الجب. Put him in the water well. Put him in the cave. Somebody will take him away. We didn't do it. And therefore, when we say to our father, it's not us, it's acceptable in their mindset. Yusuf, as a young child, by his own family, stolen. Sold into slavery, dirahima ma'duda, for a small pittance of amount. The one who buys him wants to deceive others, wants to cheat others, and say that it's his son, and if he's not going to be my son, then we'll make him a slave, and we will enslave a free child. As Yusuf grows, the people in the household begin to hold upon him that anything we say to you, you do it. We own you from the inside out. And Yusuf would resist. And every day he is under assault. Every day he is being harmed. Every day he is being terrorized. To the point that the clothing is ripped off him. And when it is known that he is not the one who is the aggressor, he is still falsely imprisoned for a crime he did not commit. Now, if you were to ask Yusuf alayhi salam, how is your life? He would say, subhanallah, from hardship to hardship to hardship to hardship. If you were to ask Yaqub, how is your life? I have cried so many tears, ibyaddat aynahu min al-huzn, that my eyes have turned white and I've gone blind. What good is this suffering? What good is this pain? What good does this serve, subhanAllah? If Yusuf does not endure all of this, the entire nation of Egypt would starve and be destroyed, subhanAllah. وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان. The king, he says, I see seven cows that are fattened and laden, being devoured by seven skinny, aggressive cows, and seven fields of corn that are being eaten and turned to dust by another seven. نبئوني بتأويله. What's the meaning of this? قالوا أدغاث وحنا. We don't know. One of those who was in prison with Yusuf remembers his ability, gifted by Allah, to interpret dreams. And Yusuf interprets one dream, subhanAllah, that causes the people of Egypt to be saved from famine. He says that the 7 years of prosperity that will be eaten away by 7 years of drought and hostility. Save what you have and don't enjoy it, and you'll be able to live the 14 years. Sometimes, my brother, you look at your life and you wonder, what does Allah have for me into the future? Allah speaks to Musa as he stands on the mountain of Tur Sina, and he says, وَجِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ. Musa, you stand in front of me now as your qadr demanded. You were almost killed. Your mother threw you in the water. Your sister followed you. The current took you to the house of Pharaoh. Pharaoh left you alive, and it bewilders and astonishes everybody around. وَرَضَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. Your mother raised you. You were protected in the house of your enemy. You were unjustly accused of killing a man as murder when it was in defense. You fled to Madian. وَجِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ. All of this was so that you will come at this moment. Allah loves you, my brother, perhaps not for what you have done in the past, but what you will still do in the future. Allah says to Musa at that moment, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي وَلِتُصْنَى عَلَى عَيْنِي. Musa, I covered you with my love. Subhanallah. Musa, I covered a man who killed another, a man who was sent out. I covered you, sheltered you with my love. I have always kept you under my watchful eye, ya Musa. And right now, my dear brother, sometimes you don't see the value in one of your children. You may not see the value in your household. You may not see the exit from a difficulty that you're in. You may not see that in في غمضة عين يقلب الله حالا من حال, that the ulama, they say, with the blink of an eye, Allah changes one condition to another. In one moment, Yusuf sits in the well. In one moment, Yusuf sits in a prison. And in one moment, Yusuf sits on a throne honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such is life. That if you set your purpose with Allah, and if you fulfill the demands of Allah as He seeks of you, to the best of your ability. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And Allah doesn't ask you to do more than you can do. Allah does not demand of you what you cannot give. And what you don't have, Allah will not ask you. You don't have enough savings, there's no zakah. You don't have enough wealth, there is no need for hajj. You don't have enough health, you don't need to fast. But what you have, give the haqq of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ, as he's riding with Mu'adh, he says, Ya Mu'adh! Mu'adh says, Labbayka ya Rasulullah. Yes, O Messenger of Allah, how can I serve? Prophet doesn't say anything. Ya Mu'adh! Louder. Mu'adh is, I'm here, O Messenger of Allah. Yes, O Messenger of Allah. Ya Mu'adh! أَتَدْرِي مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. Do you know what Allah wants from His creation? أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. All Allah wants is that you single Him out in worship and don't give attention to other than Allah. Subhanallah. Don't fear anything in the way that only Allah should be feared. Don't fear your illness. Don't fear the loss of your job. Don't fear something that has come between you and another family member. Don't fear to speak a word of truth. Don't fear to have loss. Don't fear to start again. Don't fear to travel. Don't fear to move to another place that is better for you and your home and your family. Don't fear. Don't love in a way that is unconditional, that should only be for Allah. Allah says, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. There are those who love in a way that only Allah should be loved. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But the believers are more possessive in their love for Allah. They're more careful where they put their love for Allah. أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ, that you worship Allah. الْعِبَادَةِ كَمَالُ الْحُبِّ وَالذُّلِّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Ibadah, what does it mean to ibadatullah? That you complete your love and devotion to God through humility and subservience to His command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty of the relationship of the master to the slave is that the word slave is dirty to anything other than Allah, subhanallah. For anybody to say, you're anta ya'ni, you would say, how dare you call me this? But when it is to Allah, it's honor. It lifts you up. Subhanallah. No greater title for Muhammad than Abdullah wa Rasul. Before, hours before his death, he says, don't praise me too much the way they praise Jesus and others. When you describe me, say, Abdullah wa Rasul. He's the Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the high, that when you are serving Allah, honoring to Allah, centered with Allah, fearing of Allah, conscious of Allah, coming back to Allah, anibu ila rabbikum, return to Allah, fa ayna tadhhabun, where do you think you can go? La malja'a min Allah illa ilayh, no protection from Allah except with him. That the one who will punish is the one who will protect. Subhanallah. And that if you are one step back to Allah, you find him with you. Subhanallah. Shaytan yuridu an yudillakum dalalan ba'ida. Shaytan wants you to think you're so far away. How do I even go back? My family will never accept. My wife cannot. My children, my... You think you're so far away. Shaytan puts in your mind, there's no hope. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who takes one step to Allah, Allah takes 10 to him. Subhanallah. The one who takes a walking pace to Allah, harwala ilayh, Allah runs towards him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are never further than one step away from Allah. One word back to Allah. Astaghfirullah. We look forward to the month of Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Wabarik lana fi Sha'ban. Subhanallah. Why do you look forward to Ramadan? Why do you look forward to fasting? And it's an opportunity. Sometimes in our mind, it's, I need to wait for Ramadan. La wallah. One of the problems we have in our community, subhanallah, is sometimes people hold their sadaqah and zakat till Ramadan. Do you know it's against the habit of the sahaba? Yani the sahaba, all of their zakat used to be, Umar radiallahu anhu, kana yuzakki fi rajab, wa Abu Bakr fi rajab. Their month of zakah was Rajab. Why? Because by the time you count it and you pay it and you distribute it, as Ramadan enters, people have what they need. Subhanallah. We're worried about Allah increasing our deeds, not about Allah blessing others with our khayr. We're looking at the dunya again. Yani, the mindset of, wallahi, I had one. Sheikh Yahya, you can count me in for sadaqah, inshallah, in Ramadan. I go, mashallah, okay. He goes, count me in for that. I said, Yahya, bismillah. No, in Ramadan, because adhaaf and mudaafa, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, we have a heart that is seeking good. But it is seeking good from a self-centered perspective. Wallahi. As you look towards others, like Abu Dahdah, you find the gardens of Jannah awaiting us. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yutimma alayna al-khayr, allows us to have a completion of good at the end of our life. Allahumma aj'al khayra ayyamina yawma nalqaq. May Allah make the best of our days the day we return to Him. Ameen. Wallahi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us the shahada as our final word. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our heart steadfast and our heart loving of others, even those we don't know. Subhanallah, the ukhuwa that you have in a blessed masjid like this. Yani, the colors, the diversity, the languages, the experiences, the social status, the wealth distribution, the beauty of Islam that is seated in front of me is a miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. You walk into this masjid, it's my home. I know what's going to happen, when the adhan will be called, when the iqamah, what salah, what the first thing is, Allahu Akbar. Because you and I are one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear brother, if you put in your heart the needs of others, you will find that Allah will fulfill your needs. I leave you with one final hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه يروي عنه الإمام مسلم. الإمام مسلم reports from أبو هريرة كان في من كان قبلكم, in the nations of those who lived before you. There was a man who was of noble status, Imam. People recognized him, people knew him, people favored him. He had the needs of his community with him. وكان له حاجة. But even though he has wealth and has prestige and has knowledge and has religion, He has something that he can't fulfill for himself. All of us are like this. You have all of this, but subhanAllah, I have one thing that keeps me up at night. And this man who's awake at night can't solve his problem. Nobody from who he knows can solve it from him. He says to himself, سَأَقْضِ حَاجَةَ غَيْرِي, I will fulfill the need of somebody else so that Allah will help me with my need. سَأَخْرُجُ اللَّيْلَ مُتَنَكِّرًا وَأَتَصَدَّقُ عَلَى مَنْ أَلْتَمِسُ, I'm going to go out tonight in the darkness of a moonless night, and I'm going to give charity to the first person I bump into, and I don't want them to know who I am. I'm going to say, تَصَدَّقْتُ عَلَيْكَ, here's charity, and run from them. I don't want them to know it's Yahya. He goes out in the night, in the dark, and as he approaches, he hears the footsteps of someone. He says, تَصَدَّقْتُ عَلَيْكَ, I give you charity. Why are you out in the middle of the night unless you need something? Gives charity. Waharab, runs away. He felt good. He had a good night's sleep. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, Allah will solve my problem. First time he has a good night's sleep in a long time. He wakes up, goes to the place to pray. Everybody in the masjid is... he says, what happened? They said, تُصُدِّقَ الْبَارِحَ عَلَى سَارِقَ, somebody gave charity last night to a thief. يعني somebody sitting in the dark is like, تعالى, come here, keep coming, keep coming. I'm going to take from you what you have. And he said, عَلَى سَارِقَ. So he says to himself, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ الصَّدَقَ, Allah's not going to accept charity to a sariq. No, no, let me go tonight. فَخَرَجَ الثَّانِيَ, covers himself, goes to another part in the dark, تَصَدَّقْتُ عَلَيْهِ, gives charity, runs, wakes up. People in the man, what happened? قَالُوا تُصُدِّقَ الْبَارِحَ عَلَى عَاهِرَةَ أَعَزَّكُمُ اللَّهُ, somebody gave charity to a woman of the night. He said, لا إله إلا الله, even worse than the first time. استغفر الله العظيم. لا, I'm going to go again. Third night. تَصَدَّقْتُ عَلَيْهِ. The person calling, no, 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 I don't need it, come back. Runs. Wakes up. قَالُوا تُصُدِّقَ الْبَارِحَ عَلَى غَنِيِّنَا, somebody gave charity to the wealthiest man of the city. فَضَحِقَ الصَّحَابَة, the Sahaba laugh as you and I laugh. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَتَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ أَمْرِ, are you astonished by this? أَمَّا الْأُولَى, the first night, أخذ السارق زقة ولم يؤذي أحد. The thief, he took this charity and said, I don't need to hurt anyone tonight. Let me go home. Sometimes you and I, we underestimate the power of the good we do. Sometimes you think to yourself, I'm not going to give this person, he's going to drink it, she's going to... But if you don't give, and I don't give, and he doesn't give, and nobody gives, then I take. And perhaps that charity he gave that said to the person, I'm going to go home, I don't need to hurt anyone, this saved somebody's life. And sometimes you assume that where I want my charity to be, Allah says, no, I want it somewhere else because this is where it should be. Who made you decide the qisma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As for the second night, أخذت المرأة الصدقة وعفت نفسها, the woman who was forced by the circumstances and the abuse of men in her community to do what she did, she took this charity and she honored and protected herself for a few nights. She sheltered her children, she protected her honor. It wasn't out of love for this sin, it's out of circumstance. And when one person cared enough to give, I didn't need to humiliate myself. The king, الثالثة, أخذ الصدقة وقال أقل مني ويعطي أكثر, he who has less than me gives more than me. فخرج هو الرابعة, the king went out the fourth night to give. Sometimes we think, oh no, I don't want anybody to know. The man is like, I don't want anybody to know. But subhanAllah, sometimes when people that you do good, it invites other people. مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً, The one who does something good and other people see it and they follow them in it, they get the reward of the one, even though it's not their own wealth. This hadith is meant to invite you and I to look beyond ourselves and not to calculate with Allah. I end with the words of the Prophet ﷺ, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Never underestimate any good you do. May Allah bless the little and make it great. And may Allah give us more than we intend. May Allah raise us all in the company of the Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow us to meet each other again in the dunya, that we meet each other again in Jannatul Firdaus مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His rahmah upon the shuhada of Gaza, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heals those who have been harmed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the women and the children and the elderly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives strength to those who resist, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives aid to them through us in food and shelter, that Allah uses our barakah in our homes to be a reason for their upliftment. May Allah make our wealth the food of the hungry. May Allah make our wealth the shelter of those who are without homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the khayr of the dunya and akhirah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.